You're listening to Amud V'Chazar with Daniel Eisberg, Maseches Shabbos, Daf Kuf Vav Amud Beis. And, oh, sorry, well, we are on Kuf Zayin Amud Aleph. However, we're going to start at the Mishnah on Kuf Vav Amud Beis. But tonight's Amud is Kuf Zayin Amud Aleph. Wrapping up the Simen is Kav, which is a line, and in this case is a tightrope walker walking a line. And so we'll do the Mishnah. Somebody is sitting down at the door, and he doesn't fill up the whole door by himself. Right? He finally lost all that Pesach weight that he gained, and he doesn't fill up the whole doorway. Yashav Asheni Umilehu, and then his second friend, who also put off the Pesach weight, is sitting at the door now. And now both of them are sitting there together, and they're blocking it. And now the deer that's trapped inside from the previous Mishnah can't get out. Hasheni Chayev. The second one is the one who is Chayev. He's the one who completed the trapping. Yashav Harishon Al HaPesach Umilehu. Right, so this is right after Pesach. He didn't put off the weight yet, and he blocks the whole door by himself. Uba Hasheni Yashav Batsido. And the second guy comes and sits at his side, right? This is not lashon of tzad of trapping. This is at his side. Afal pisha amar harishon v'halach lo. So let's say the first guy then gets up. He's like, "Oh, you got it. You're here." So he goes and leaves the second guy there. Harishon chayev asheni pater. The first guy remains chayev, and the second guy is pater, right? Even though now he is the lock of the door, but. Right, because he is blocking the whole door, and now the deer can't get out. Nevertheless, he is potter. So what's this guy, the second one Rashi elaborates, what's he comparable to? Lenoel es beso, the shomro, somebody who locks his door in order to guard it, meaning protect what's in the house. And then it turns out that there's a deer that's, you know, trapped in his house. Which is, you know, you can imagine a deer running around your house. I've heard stories of people like live in Muncie, and a crazy story about a deer like running through a glass door, and imagine a bloody deer in the house, shattered glass everywhere. It's horrifying. But anyway, that's not the Gemara's concern over here. The Mishnah's concern. So anyway, it's comparable to there's a deer in his house. And it's already there, and he's not locking, he's not trapping the deer. The deer is already locked in his house. He's closing it to guard his door. So that's what it's comparable to. Rashi says v'nimtza tzvi, lenoel as beso, the shomro v'lo litzod. He's not trying to trap it. V'nimtza tzvi shehu nitzod kvar shamor besochod. Right, that there's a deer that's already trapped in his house. So even if the first guy gets up, it's as if the second guy didn't do the trapping. It's as if it was already guarded, you know, trapped from yesterday. He didn't really add much. So that is the Mishnah. The Gemara on Kuf Zayin starts to analyze his Mishnah. Kuf Zayin, just to we'll mention, is the simon is couscous. Right, I wonder if one of the options was like a cuz, but it's going to be couscous. And I believe there are 2 points on this amud. So let's take a look at the Gemara. Amar Rabbi Abba, Amar Rabbi Chiya Barash, Yamar Rav, Nichnisa lo tzipor tachas knafav. So if a bird entered under his, so this might you might think this is the bird's wings, but it's not talking about his wings. Rashi clarifies, Tap Rashi, tachas kanfe ksuso. It goes under the kanfos of a person's clothing, right? So a bird flies into your cloak, right? Your cloak, you open it up for a second, and now there's a bird flying around in your clothing. So, right? So yeah, you can imagine that's pretty unpleasant. But anyway, Yoshev umashomro ad shetechshach, and so he's allowed to sit and guard it until it gets dark, meaning Shabbos is over. So this is a great way to catch a bird. If the bird flies into your clothing, So don't, no problem. It's mudra to just leave it there. So if that ever happens to you, it's okay. You can leave it. You can leave it there. You don't have to send it out. Rashi clarifies, or just, you know, elaborates. Yoshi v'shamro ken ve'eno tzarech liftoch lo chalon de'eno ela shomer. You don't have to. You don't have to. You know, open up a window because. Right, because it's a eno ela shomer. It's only a shmira, but it's not a tzad. It's already trapped, and now you're just guarding it from being trapped, but you're not trapping it anew. So that is the halacha over there. Okay, Moser Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. Yoshev, right, so Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak is going to challenge that from our very Mishnah. Yoshev Harishon al Pesach umilehu b'hasheni v'yoshev b'tzido afal pisha amad harishon v'halach lo harishon chayiv v'hasheni potter. Right, so we said that if we have two guys guard, right, one filled up the place, and so the deer couldn't get out, and then the second guy sits there, the first guy gets up, so we said the first guy's chayiv and the second one is potter. Even meaning now, right? So even though he's now guarding this, so my lav potter avo asar, it says it's potter. Doesn't it mean that it's right? Potter, we know, we learned on daf gimel, is potter avo asar. It's that it's not mutter, it's potter. That you're potter for you're not chayav achatas or you're not chayav misa, but you're not allowed to do it. So isn't that what we're talking about? So if meaning our Mishnah is saying that this person is that the second guy is potter, but it's not mutter for him to do that. So how could we say in this similar case over here that the bird is flying in his clothing, that he's right, meaning just like the deer was already in the house and already trapped in the house, and he's just guarding it. So over here there's a bird trapped in his clothing, and he's just guarding it. It's no different. Yet over here we say he's allowed to, right? The lashon is yoshev umeshamro. He sits. He's allowed to sit and guard it until it gets dark. But in our Mishnah it says potter, but we know potter avalaser. So my lab potter avalaser. Lo putter umutter. If you remember correctly from Daf Gimel, which is quite a while ago, when we did this, this is actually where we were introduced to the concept of putter aval aser, that in general Hilchos Shabbos putter aval aser. So we learned that there are actually three exceptions. And if you go back to Daf Gimel, one of the three exceptions was this very case. So it said, so let's take a look. Putter lo putter umutter. No, this putter's putter umutter. Right, that this is one of the exceptions. Hachinami mistavra, and this is also logical. It's supported from the Mishnah itself. Midiktani seifa, from the fact that the seifa says lemaze dome leno es beis leshomro v'nimsef tzvi shemor besocho. Right, so then the Mishnah gives like a mashal to demonstrate why it's mutter, right? That it's like it's basically someone just locking his house to protect his things, and there's already a deer trapped in his house. So based on this mashal as well, michlal de potter mutter, shmamina. The implication is that it's not just potter, but it's potter and mutter, and this is going to be this is an unusual phrasing, but this is what it is, and therefore there is no question on this teaching of Rav, right, the second line of the Gemara, this teaching about the bird and the clothing, there is no challenge to that from our Mishnah. Our Mishnah is in perfect unison with that. Ika der Amri, there are those who teach that Shachat Fray we just had a little bit differently. It wasn't that there was the teaching of Rav as a question, sorry, as a statement, and then questioning that from the Mishnah, but rather as follows. Ika der Amri, let's say it like this, Amr of Nachman Reitzach, Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, right, who was the one who did the challenge earlier. Af ananami tanina. We also learned this in the Mishnah, right? This time he's just supporting that teaching from the Mishnah as opposed to challenging it and then giving an explanation. Af al pi shomad arishon v'halach lo arishon chayiv v'asheni potter. My lav potter umutter. So isn't this potter's mutter? They're saying no. Lo potter avalaser. No, we challenge it. No, maybe it's potter avalaser. But this, the fact that we learned in the Seifa, Halam as a dome, Elano as Basil Shomro, and Nimsisvi Shomor Besocho, Michlal de Potter Umutter, Shmamina. That implies that it's Potter Umutter, Shmamina. So it's basically the same basic steps in just a different order, right? So right, we first, we say the teaching, the teaching of Rav. And then Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak says our Mishnah is in line with that. If you assume our Mishnah is talking about Pater Aval Aser, we say, wait, maybe if you assume it's Pater Mutter, then we say, hey, maybe it's Pater Aval Aser. And we say, no, look at the Seifa, it's clearly Pater Mutter. Good. Amar Shmuel. And if you look at the side, it'll tell you that this is back. This is Shmuel from Gimel Amud Aleph. Amar Shmuel Kol Paturi de Shabbos Pater Aval Aser Levar Mihani Tlas. All the Pater of Shabbos are Pater Aval Aser, with the exception of these three, the Pater of Mutter. That is actually Mutter Lichatchila. Chada Ha. One is this one that we just did with the trapping of the Tzvi. Umimai de Pater Mutter. How do we know that the Pater is Pater Mutter, right? If there's a klal that it's Pater Aval Aser, you need to give me a good convincing explanation for why it's Pater Mutter. Diktani Seifa Lamazadoma Lano Alas Beis L'Sham Ravininsa Svi Sham Rabbesocho. Right? As we said, this is the third time we're saying it already. This Seifa supports it. The Idach, what's another one of the right? What's the other one? Another one. Hamapis Mursa Beshabis. So somebody who makes pops a boil on Shabbos, imlasos lo peh chayiv. If he's doing it to make an opening on his body, he is chayiv. Rashi says, b'tosefta tani hachi im lekolfa v'lasos lo peh kederach sharofim shel achshav osin dimtakin lo pesach. So this is actually something that that the doctors in France 1,000 years ago did that was some sort of treatment. If there's a boil, you would open it up, and there would be a patch that you'd like make a hole where the boil was, and just by popping it, but it creates a hole that's healthy, and I guess future pus not get caught up. It was considered a good thing. So if that's what you're trying to do, Chayiv, Rashi says, Mishum Bone Pesach, because perhaps Bone, even though it's on the body, you're building a window, an opening, O Mishum Mitakin Kli, or it's Tikun Kli. And this actually, Mali Latakin Maka, Mali Latakin Kli. What's the difference between fixing up a Maka, and what's the difference between fixing up a Kli? This is actually what we said in the previous Daf, if you remember, Kuvav Amud Aleph, where it's the response to, I think maybe it's Ravashi about Bris Mila. That Bris Mila, you would think Bris Mila is usher because it's a tikkun a human, right? A tikkun a gavra or whatever it is. So you'd think maybe something like Bona or Makav Patish or something like that. And then therefore the Torah comes along and tells us no, Bris Mila is not usher. But this is back to that concept that there is some sort of idea of binyan on a human. And tikkun kli on a human. Actually, I'm just thinking right now. There's another case of binyan on a human that we can think about, right? If you remember from Tzadi Hey, right? I remember Tzahal. There was a soldier. So we're talking about braiding hair. We're talking about Adam and Chava and the there was like a building that was done, like Vayiven, right? Hashem built the structure of Adam and Chava, and then one interpretation is that he beautified Chava by braiding her hair, and that's why braiding hair would be bona. But over here, we have a case of building the term binyan used by a human. So it's not so crazy, right? I mean, the first creation of human is a lashon of binyan. So it's not so crazy to say I'm building a window on the human. Yeah, that's actually real. Okay, so back to this Mishnah that we're quoting, or is Mishnah in Adios. Hamapis morsa b'shavis imlasos lapeh chayef. Imlahotzi mimena lecha, but if you're just trying to bring out the pus, you're trying to extract that, but you're not building anything. Potter, your potter, Rashi says, v'imlahotzi lecha shal achshav ve'eno choshesh im tachzor v'testo miyad. Right? I'm just trying to get this out. I'm not trying to, prevent future pus or anything like that. I'm just trying to get it out right now. So putter umutter, Rashi says, de'ein kan tikun, because you're not fixing anything. You're not right. You're just letting out something. You're not fixing anything. You're not doing anything to the body. Rabbana nami lo gozer ba shvus mishum tzara. And you might say, well, maybe shouldn't that be aser derabanan at least? But Rabbanan say no, because of the tzar, right? The tzar of having a pimple that you want to you know, pop that and whatever pain that it might cause with the pus. So you want to get that out so the Rabbanan weren't gozer in such a case. You know, you might say, oh, they should be gozer just in case you might make a Pesach, or you know, or maybe you might intend to make a Pesach. So no, that's not the halacha because of tsar they were makel. Okay, so back to this mission again. So we meant alecha putter umimai de putter umutter. How do you know that this is putter umutter, right? Maybe it's just putter b'avolaser. Ditnan, because we learned in the Mishnah machat shalyan litol ba'asakotz, that you're allowed to, right? So we have another Mishnah. This is in, we're going to have it later on, actually. And Kuf Chaf Beis. And, what? Yeah, and it says that you're allowed to use a hand needle, like a needle, like a normal needle that you'd use with your hand, to take a coat, to take out a thorn, right? Rashi says, "V'hainu dumya de lecha de mitzar le." This is right. You have a thorn. You have some sort of like splinter, and this omud right here is. There's a lot of halacha lemaisa discussion, right? I'm not going to paskin based on just one view of this omud, but this is a foundational omud for a lot of halachic discussions of various topics. So over here, taking out splinters on Shabbos, and he's not concerned if it's going to be like, you know, that his point of using the needle and taking up the splinter, that's not what he's thinking about. He's just trying to get this thing out. Over here it's saying that you could take it out lechatchila. Machat shel yad he. And then he just explains that lashon of machat shel yad, machat shetofrin ba begadim, and he's just, Rashi just says over here that later on we're going to learn about a different type of needle that's not necessarily like a hand-held needle, so that's why we call it a machat shel yad. But the bottom line is that we compare, so this mapis amorsa, we say is mutter, when it says potter in the Mishnah, but we know really it's mutter. How do we know? Because we have this explicit Mishnah that says that you're allowed to take a coats out with the needle. So we compare the cases. It's basically the same. The popping of the pimple, the popping of the boil is basically the same thing as using a needle to take out a splinter. It's basically the same idea, and that Mishnah is explicit that it's mutter. Therefore, we infer that in our case over here, when it says pater, it means pater umutter, not pater avo aser. Okay, so that was the second one. The idach, and the third one, hatzad nachash b'shabbos. One who traps a snake on Shabbos. Imis asig bo shalei shechenu, pater. If he's dealing with it so that it should not bite him, it's pater. Im l'refua, but if it's for refua, chayiv. Right, if you're trapping a snake for refua, Rashi doesn't say anything over here, but I think it's well known that there are certain snake venoms that are actually antidotes to either the venom itself or other elements that can be cured with snake venom. So you might be doing it for refua. So if you're trapping a snake, now also, of course, we're not talking about a pikuach nefesh situation, because if it was pikuach nefesh, you can violate nisr deraisa, malacha deraisa. No question. So over here we're talking about where it's presumably not life threatening, and over here, so you're trapping a snake on Shabbos. So if your intention is that it should not bite you, it's potter. If it's for refua, then it's chayev. Umimai de potter mut umutter. When it says potter, meaning if you did it, maybe you should be chayev. Sorry, maybe you wouldn't be chayev, but it's aser. So umimai de pater umutter ditznan, because we learned in the Mishnah kofin ka'ara al haner bishvil shalote echoz bekora, somebody who turns over a dish, Rashi says a ka'ara shacheres, over on top of a fire, bishvil shalote so that it won't catch, like the beams won't catch fire. Okay, well. Finish this Mishnah. V'al tsoa shel katan v'al akrav shelo teshach. So a person is allowed to cover a candle with an earthenware dish so that the fire doesn't catch the beams. And you can also put over excrement of a child v'al akrav shelo teshach, and also over a scorpion so that it does not bite. So you can put it over these three things. Even though all of these things are mukta, the ner and the tsoa and the akrav are mukta, and you shouldn't be able to move something on top of the things that are for the purpose of this mukta thing, but it says over here, you're mutter to do all of these things because of the some sort of danger. Now, if it was pikuach nefesh, of course you can. But it seems to be less than pikuach nefesh, but still there is some concern about danger, and therefore you are allowed. Rashi just tells us that you have to be very careful. Kofen l'chadchila. So the lashon is kofen is l'chadchila, that meaning it's mutter to do this. Veloshe yichbes aner. Right, you have to make right. You can't completely put a thing of pottery over a candle because right, if you then that's putting out a flame. So they have to leave over space. If there's no oxygen, it's not going to the fire will go out. So obviously not that the case. And Rashi says Vashminan teaches us to kli nita latzalas davar shein anita b'shabbos, that you can take a kli to save something that's not that is mukta itself, And so over here, and just to clarify, the Rashi points out ka'ara shalcheres, because if it was of metal, so then that would probably be a problem of heating up metal on Shabbos, and that would be more of an issue. And al akrav shalotishoch, and over Rashi says va'afagav dimemela mitatzid mistzid, that even though on its own, if you cover up the scorpion, now it's going to be trapped, but it's still going to be mutter in this situation. So this is explicit. That it's mutter l'chadchila, right? It says that you're kofin, we're allowed to do it l'chadchila. And therefore, we assume that in the case of the snake, it says if you trap the snake for the purpose of you know, saving yourself, so it's putter, so it probably means putter u mutter. And that is a support for all three of these teachings, that these three are the exceptions, that it's not patra v'lasa, rather patra u'mutar. Hachin Allah ha'ori. It's two prakim in a row that I was able to finish. Baruch Hashem. Mazel tov, mazel tov. And let's head into Shmona Tzratzim. And there's going to be a discussion of Tzad over here. I'm not exactly sure how the prakim are broken up. I'm trying to figure out where exactly the line is drawn. It could be I was just learning the Mishnayos straight, it would be more clear. But if you have any ha'aros about why the prakim are broken up the way they are, clearly there was some intention to get 24. That was clearly part of the intention of 24 prakim. But I feel like there are different ways to divide it. So I'm open to hearing your suggestions. Let's go on. Shmona shratzim. So there are 8 shratzim hamurim b'Torah. So there are 8 shratzim that are mentioned in the Torah, and about which hatsadan v'hachovel bahen chayiv, that someone who traps them or who bruises them is chayiv. Okay, we got to pause. a few points here. First of all, such a distant past, we learned Parshas Shmini, right? The Shmona shratzim that are found in Shmini, and shratzim in general are. Creepy. What I was taught in elementary school, like creepy crawling critters, things that are very very low to the ground, either don't have legs at all or have very short legs and kind of like slither across the ground even with small legs. Rodents are included in them. Various amphibians, reptiles, and insects will all be considered in shratzim. Now there are 8 shratzim in our particular that are specified to have some different that transmit tuma, that their dead bodies transmit tuma, while others will not. And those Shmona Shratzim are mentioned. Rashi mentions over here Shmona Shratzim hacholid va'achbar v'gomer v'yikra yud aleph. So the yikra yud aleph is Parsha Shmini. Rabbi Goldhar's simon for that is yud aleph. Right, 11 is always the stars, and the stars shining on these like non kosher animals. Okay. For the Chumash Simanim. So we have over here the Cholet and the Achbar, and there are many different, especially with the list of birds and many of the non-kosher animals, we're not really sure what all of them are. If you have a Chumash with you, I'll just read through the names of them. Cholet, Achbar, Achbar, Tzav, Anaka, Koach, Lata, Chomet, and Etin Shemes. The cholid is usually also of chulda, a weasel. Achbar is a mouse or a rat. Tzav in modern Hebrew is a turtle. Most of the mafarshim seem to understand it to be something more of like a frog or a toad or possibly a lizard of some sort. but modern Hebrew tzav is a turtle, and there's an anaka, which is like a porcupine or a hedgehog or something that looks kind of like that. Koach and lita and are different types of lizards, and a chomet is a snail or a slug, and a tinshemes is interesting. Tinshemes, I think we're depending where it's in the pasuk. That's also on the list of flying creatures that are not kosher. A tinshemes. So you have one that's a sheretz and one that's in the flying creatures among the birds. So over here, it seems to be that it's a mole. And what do you think it is by the flying creatures? What would you say a flying mole is?
A gnat.
A what?
A gnat.
Rhymes with gnat. A bat.
Oh.
Yeah. So the tinshemes seems to... Yeah, it seems to be a bat. It's among the non-kosher birds. You know, some people didn't the Torah know that bats are not birds? And I was asked that many years ago, and I just responded. I think it's very, very simple. The Torah never said they're birds. The Torah said they're flying creatures. The Torah doesn't care about listing things that are mammals. Who made up mammals? Who made up the category mammals? The Torah is organizing the list in the domains that they're found in, right? You have flying creatures and you have water creatures and you have land creatures. Torah doesn't care what's a mammal and what's not, meaning like a whale and a dolphin, okay, technically they're mammals, but they would be included in aquatic creatures. The Torah doesn't, right? You hear the response? Right, so I don't think it shows like the ignorance of the Torah. The Torah didn't realize a bat wasn't a bird. Of course the Torah knew a bat wasn't the bird. The Torah, but it's including bat and a flying creature. Anyway, so we have a tinshemes, and the tinshemes is a mole or some sort of rodent. When it's the list of the shrotzim, and when it's in the list of the flying creatures, it's a bat. Okay. So anyway, so these eight creatures, these eight shrotzim are different, in that they transmit tumah, and they're also different, the halacha, in that if you trap them, or you wound them, or bruise them, you are chayiv. Vashar shkatzim uramasim, and the other things that would be categorized as this in general, but are not specified, in the Torah, as transmitting tumah, so hachova behen pater, and if you damage them, if you wound them, you're pater. Hatzadan letzorech, so one who traps them letzorech, because you need them, right? So let's say let's go to your gnat case. I'm assuming that would be included, or I don't know, a beetle, whatever it might be. So if you need it for whatever reason, so you're chayiv. Shelo letzorech, or maybe like a caterpillar, right? Let's say if you need it for your second grade class, you need a caterpillar. So over here, you need it. So then you'd be chayiv. Shelo letzorech, but if you don't need it, right? For whatever reason that you're trapping it, but not because you want to use it, so then you would be putter. Chayiv ha'of, and if you have an animal or a bird, shibur shuso, that's in his possession, it's under his domain. Hatsadon putter, one who traps them is putter, right? So like, your pet dog. So if you trap your pet dog, so it's already considered trapped. Rashi says putter in sudden shahari nisodin vomdin. It's already trapped and standing there in its trapped state. So because it's in your domain, and I think we'll have to discuss lahalacha what that means, right? So what if it's like a bird that, a bird that like, a dog will likely come back to home, and if you whistle or, rover, and it'll come back. A bird, maybe not. So we'll have to discuss the parameters of this. But of course, if you wound your dog, so you'd be chayiv. So now let's just clarify. What do you think the problem is with hachovel? Right? Trapping them, of course, that's our discussion. Trapping these things. But what about wounding them? What malacha is that? Okay, yeah. So, is that what you're gonna say, Shalom?
Extracting.
What malach is extracting? Like dush?
Yeah.
What do you extract? You're saying where you cause it to bleed?
Yeah.
Okay. If we cause.
With the
Yeah. Right. Good. Right. On Ayin Hay, the Am Ha'aretz, squeezing his little. The snail, right? So if you're trying to get the blood, so that was part of the machlokas, right? There's a machlokas there, whether it's dash or ntilas neshama, which is shchita. Yeah. So maybe over here, let's assume we're not trying to extract the blood. Right, but yeah, that's a good point. Maybe right, like the case that we previously mentioned of someone who strikes something for the blood for the kalbo, right, for his dog. So that would be an interesting part of the discussion. But over here, so let's take a look at Rashi. Rashi says he has two pshatim. One is v'achova behen chayev d'yeshlehen or, because these things have, first of all, these things have hide. They have not all shratzim have a hide. Like a skin that's, I guess, set, kind of separate from the rest of the flesh. Can you first be Gemara? And it's what you're doing when you make a bruise is you make a bruise that it's not like, you know, just like when you press on your skin and it changes color for a little bit and then it goes back, but a real bruise. So, there's like internal bleeding. The havilei tolda deshochet, and it's as Avi said, it's a tolda of shchita, right? Shchita is killing, and this is like a subcategory. It's a tolda of killing where you killed a part of the body. And then lishna acharina kevan diyesh lahen or nitzba haor bedam hanitzrarbo dechayev mishum tzoveya. That, oh, but it could be that since there's skin and you caused it to be and you caused it to change color, so you were over tzoveya, which is dying. Now, presumably, it would have to be where that was your intention, right? You wanted it to look like that for whatever reason. That would probably have to be what we're talking about over here. Now, we'll just take a look at Tosos and just say what Tosos' role over here. He says Lason. Shaper sakuntris mishum netilas neshama ikker. Shaper's paraklal gadol, as we said in klal gadol on ayin hay, which is the gemara that Shlomo was referring to regarding the chilazon. The main thing is netilas neshama. That's the ikker, and that's the consensus of most rishonim poskim, that's the problem with this over here. We're not talking about tzevei. We're talking about netilas neshama shochet. But we'll see. As we go through this parak, how much these two shitos in Rashi, how Rashi follows them through. Okay, so that's what we're talking about over here. Let's take a look at the Gemara. Midiktani hachovel behen chayiv. So from the fact that we learn the hachovel behen chayiv michlal de islahu or. Right, the fact that you're bruising them, that implies that they must have a hide. They must have what we would consider hide of these eight shratzim. Otherwise, there is no bruising. Mantana. So who is the Tana who holds that these shratzim have hide? So it's a machlokas Rav or Shmuel and Rav whether. Who the Tana must be? Amar Shmuel, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. It's Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. Detan, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. Omer, Shmona Shratzim Yesh Lahen Oros. That Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says that the Shmona Shratzim have Oros. Now this is a discussion in Maseches Chulin. Rashi says Upali Gadar Rabbanan Damar Damri Haba Or VaHarotev HaAnaka HaKoach VaHalta VaHachomet. That regarding those four later. Like the second four shratzim that are mentioned, those things orosehin metamin bekeadasha kivisaran, that their hide is metame with keadasha like a lentil size like their flesh amahani arba leislu or, meaning there's a machlokus whether the skins of these shratzim are going to be metame. As their tummy, right? We said that in general, when an animal, like let's say a pig, a dead pig is matame, it transmits tumma, but not the hooves of the pig, but the hide of the pig, and now what about the status of the shratzim? So there's a machlokas, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri and Rabban, I think there's another opinion as well, whether these eight shratzim. Let's say you have their outer skins. Does that transmit tumah? And Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says that they have oros and therefore it doesn't. And the Rabbanan say no. Four of them orosein matamin, meaning that four of them their hides do transmit tumah because their hides are one with their flesh. So in our Mishnah, if our Mishnah is assuming that all eight of these chovel applies to them, meaning all eight of these could be bruised, that means all eight of these have hides. And that must be Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. But Rabba Bar Rav Huna says in the name of Rav, arguing Shmuel, you can even say it's the Rabbanan. Ad kan lo pligi Rabbanan alei de Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. That Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri and the Rabbanan only disagree ela le'inyan tuma. They say by tuma that there's a machlokas. Dichsiv ela hatameim lechem. These are the ones that are tamei to you. So there's an extra letter hey over there. Hatameim, could you say ela tameim? So what's the extra hey? Ela hatameim lechem. The rabos sheoroseim kivisaran. That comes to include that the skins are like their flesh. Avala inyan shabbos afilu rabbanan modu. Right, regarding Shabbos, even the Rabbanan would be Moda to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, meaning that there's a machlokes whether these eight shratzim have, or at least four of them, have hides or not. Do they have hides, like their outer skin is detached from the next layer of flesh, or is their hides basically one with their flesh? So there's four of these shratzim that are in question. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, says, but maybe this machlokas is really only by tumah, because four of them seem to be categorized separately, and then therefore they have to be included. But when it comes to Hilchos Shabbos, they admit that no, but okay, even though there's a question by tumah, but lemaisa, all eight of them do have a hide that they can, you know, have bruises. So really, the Rabbanan would agree with Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. When it comes to Hilchos Shabbos, all eight of these animals could be bruised. The question is that when it comes to Tumah, do we say that, yeah, even though it could be bruised, but maybe four of these shratzim, their skin is considered one with the flesh, and the other four, it's considered like a separate entity. So you don't have to establish, as Shmuel says, establish this Mishnah only in accordance with Yochanan ben Nuri from Chulin. It could be, says Rav, even the Rabbanan would agree regarding this Mishnah. And we're going to backtrack, but we'll call it for now.